The Gallup number on Supreme Court approval deserves to be read carefully. 33% overall approval is a record low, but the internal breakdown is where the political story lives. Republican support for the court has dropped 21 percentage points since September. Not Democratic support, Republican support. This is the base that has spent decades working toward a conservative supermajority on the court, and they're now disapproving of the institution at rates that approach historical Democratic skepticism.
And the driver, according to Gallup's own analysis, is Trump's public attacks on individual justices. When the president of your own party calls the court's members traitors or threats to the country, even supporters who agree with the court's rulings start absorbing the negative framing. There's a real risk here that Trump has undermined the legitimacy of one of the few institutions that actually delivered on conservative policy goals over the last decade. You can win the battle on appointments and lose the war on institutional credibility.
The Droneport story is a window into that same dynamic. An appeals court blocked construction of the structure Trump wants to build in the White House ballroom. Trump's response was to post A. I generated militarized mock-ups of the design on Truth Social, essentially mocking the court's ruling by fantasy designing around it. The message isn't subtle. The executive branch's posture toward judicial oversight is theatrical defiance, not compliance.
On the immigration front, that polling number, 80% of independents viewing ICE tactics as excessive, is the kind of number that should be keeping Republican strategists up at night ahead of November. Independents are the decisive bloc in almost every competitive Senate and House race. When 4 out of 5 of them hold a negative view of your administration's signature enforcement policy, you have a voter motivation problem that doesn't resolve itself between now and Election Day.
The El Sayed story in Michigan is genuinely interesting as a case study in how Democratic candidates are navigating the progressive versus electable tension. Abdul El Sayed, the Democratic Senate nominee, had a Trump post a contrast image of the two couples, apparently intended to embarrass El Sayed. El Sayed's response was to flip the contrast back onto Trump's marriage and economic record. That's a candidate who is comfortable fighting in close quarters. The fact that he also directly condemned Hassan Piker's 9 or 11 comments, something he had deflected for months, suggests his campaign made a deliberate strategic decision that the association was becoming a liability larger than the activist energy Piker brought.
The main Senate race between Susan Collins and her challenger is shaping up around women voters as the decisive bloc, which tracks with national patterns. Collins has spent decades cultivating a reputation for independence from her own party, and that reputation is being tested hard right now. If women voters in Maine are breaking sharply against Republican incumbents regardless of individual senators' records, Collins's brand differentiation might not be enough to carry her through November.
AOC declining to rule out either a 2028 presidential run or a primary challenge to Chuck Schumer is a move that accomplishes two things simultaneously. It keeps her in the national conversation without committing to a decision that would require her to build infrastructure and raise money now. And it signals to the progressive wing of the Democratic Party that the generational challenge to the old guard is a live question, not a settled one. Bernie Sanders adding fuel to the fire by calling the Minnesota Senate primary tight suggests the left flank is actively testing which races are competitive territory.
And then there's Trump's crypto venture. World Liberty Financial reportedly receiving $100 million from a businessman named Guren Bobby Zhou, who was previously investigated for money laundering in Britain, channeled through a UAE-based firm. The New York Times report drops during a week when crypto regulation is already in the news. The question of whether a sitting president's family financial enterprise is accepting capital from individuals under foreign law enforcement scrutiny is exactly the kind of story that tends to have legs regardless of partisan priors.
The Ohio Republican story, Max Miller locked onto the ballot after the filing deadline passed, is a smaller story but worth flagging because it illustrates the ongoing tension within the GOP between Trump loyalists and the broader party establishment. Miller's presence on the ballot in a competitive district is a local test case of whether Trump-aligned candidates can win without the broader party's full support infrastructure.
NYC Mayor Mamdani's announcement that he will attend the September 11th ceremony despite a petition with 80,000 signatures opposing his presence is a significant political moment. He's choosing the symbolism of the office over the pressure of the petition, which is either principled leadership or political tone deafness, depending entirely on where you stand. But the petition itself, 80,000 signatures, reflects how raw certain civic wounds remain in New York, and how contested the identity of elected leadership in that city has become.